Okay, would you turn your Bible to Genesis 1, please? Last Sunday, we studied part 1 of the history of the creation. We studied part 1 of the history of creation. Starting from day 1, God created light out of nothing. And all the way to the day 4, creating sun and moon, and of course, he threw the gazillion stars into the universe out of nothing. He's not done yet. He's on a roll, so he's continuing. But before we go into day 5 and day 6, I need to state a couple of very important facts that you must keep in mind. Especially young people, I want you to remember this. If somebody tells you the creation is a hoax and evolution is the truth, then ask them about the second law of the thermodynamic. I'll explain to you. The evolutionary scientists who insist on their fairy tale theory of evolution cannot and don't want to explain the second law of thermodynamics in connection with the evolution. Did I lose you guys? You with me? Okay, let me explain about this. According to their evolution, the things get better, right? From one single cell to human or better. Not get worse. However, they are ignoring very important fact. The second law of thermodynamics. The definition is this. A system's energy gradually decreases, resulting in disorder or randomness. A state called entropy. And over time, the entropy, that is a disorder, increases in any closed system without new infusion of energy. Everything tends toward state of disorder over time. Okay, by now you're kind of looking at me like I don't get it, right? In simple layman's terms, unless you intervene, if you leave it alone, it will go from normal to chaos. From good to bad. Let's say you have a boatload of money, so you bought a Lamborghini. You drove a couple times and you parked in your garage, closed the garage, and you go back to that Lamborghini 10 years later. Guess what happened? You cannot even start that Lamborghini. Battery is dead. Everything that was there, in case the rat didn't get to it, Lamborghini will not be much of a Lamborghini. Unless somebody pull it. Simple layman's term that things get worse, not better, if it's not intervened by the outer source. One good example, better example than the Lamborghini. The sun we see every day is getting cooler, it's getting smaller. By next week, it will be gone. No, it won't be gone. Any scientist will admit that, yes, it's getting cooler and smaller. Because sun itself is not getting any help from outer source. It's an absolute obstacle that the evolutionary scientists cannot overcome. So instead of admitting that the evolution theory is a hoax, they ignore the second law of thermodynamics, and so this brings the next point. Next point is, why can't the evolution scientists cannot find the fact of the creation by God? It's the same reason why a thief cannot find the policeman. They simply don't want to. These are the people who embrace the climate change mumbo-jumbo. I love the way when they declare in Paris, global warming is coming. The earth is going to be so hot, people cannot survive. So we got to do something. Of course, in the front of everybody was Al Gore, who made billions of dollars out of that. Climate change, that year, it was so cold, they had to change the name from global warming to the climate change. Climate change, we've been having all the time. What we call the four seasons, in case they haven't noticed. Let's stop and pray. Father, indeed you are one true God, no one can deny. People will say anything they want to deny your presence, to deny your holiness so that we can continue in our sins. That's why we rejected you. But you extend your mercy toward us through Jesus Christ. The grace that beyond our comprehension, we thank you and praise you. We'll glorify your loving kindness in Jesus our Lord. Father, as we open our heart to receive your word, Father, we are asking you to speak to us in such a way we may never forget. And when we have a chance to explain to the unbelievers, to evolutionary scientists, let us simply present your truth. And it's their choice to reject or embrace like we have done it. We know that we have nothing to show to you other than Jesus Christ our Lord, his mercy and love and kindness. Father, we are asking you to anoint our heart to receive your word, understand your word, and anoint the one who speaks, that he may explain the things that exactly the way you want, not his opinion. Father, we pray for the President Trump and all the leaders in this country, and your will be done, and they may come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And we pray for our troops, the one in the harm's way, that they may come home safe and sound to their families. And we pray for law enforcement personnel. Another police officer got killed, Father. Embrace their families and family members and friends and comfort them. And we are asking you to be their protector and their shield, their backup. Not only for them, as well as also pray that we ask you to protect the firefighters. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 1, verse 20, please. Did you see the Nemo right there in the picture? Can you find the Nemo? Verse 20, then God said, let the water abound with abundance of the living creature. Let the birds fly above the earth, across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the water abounded, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and in the sea, and let the bird multiply on earth. Verse 23, so the evening and the morning were the fifth day. I actually note the word according to its kind previously. Again, here, this phrase appeared 10 times in Genesis chapter 1. It means God allowed a variation of within the kind, but something of one kind will never develop into anything of another kind. Do you understand? Let me make it in the fancy term. Evolutionists love to talk about microevolution that they consider as a stepping stone for the macroevolution. For example, structure among the dogs are diverse. There is a Great Dane and Chihuahua. They are still same dog, even though they are obviously very different. However, they will not become mice or rat, no matter how much breeding is done. Are you with me? You never see that one species becoming another species. Evolutionists often give a convincing example of evolution, microevolution, variation of kind of its kind, adapting the environment. Good example is there are black moth and white moth. As their environment becomes darker, there are more black moth than white moth. And finch. Have you ever seen finch? It kind of looks like a sparrow, but very, very colorful. Within the finches, you know, depending on the location, their beaks get different. Some of them is kind of this shape, and then some of them is really pointy. Depending on the location, finch adapt the location to survive. And that's a microevolution. Finch is a finch, and moth is a moth at the end of the day. Are you with me on that? It never changes. Moth does not become butterfly, or it doesn't become, it becomes a dog, or a finch doesn't become a dolphin. It remains as is. So microevolution does not prove macroevolution. Go to verse 24, please, now. Day 6. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle, creeping things, and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the beasts of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Stop there, please. Most people are aware that Darwin's strongest opponents are not Christian. Rather, they are fossil experts. Darwin admits that the state of the fossil evidence was most obvious. This is what Darwin said. And gravest objection which can be urged against my theory. Fossil record marked by the two great principles. Number one, stasis. Stasis, it means the most species are unchanged in all their documented history. The way they look when they first appeared in the fossil record is the way they looked at the last appearing in the fossil record. It was not changed. How do you make a fossil? Anyone know? Can anyone explain? You don't just make a fossil by leaving the put them in between the book pages. It takes tremendous pressure. Let's say a dog walking on the side of the road, and something humongous fell on top of the dog, crushed it, and with such a pressure and weight, it happened instantly. It does not happen gradually. Are you with me on that? It never happened gradually, instantly. So the last appearance of the fossil was the same as the first appearance. And not only that, sudden appearance. Second point is it explains that in a local area, species does not arise gradually, and it appears all at once and fully formed. Fully formed. If evolution carries a gradual change of one kind's organism to into another kind, the outstanding characteristic of a fossil record is the absence of the evidence of evolution. And this evolutionist cannot find fossils that change from one species to another species. By the way, have you ever argued with someone which one is the first, chicken or egg? Have you ever done that? I did. I was dumb enough to argue with someone. Chicken. When God didn't create the egg first. He started with the chicken first. And then multiply from there. Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, please. Then God said, let us make a man in our image. Note that, please. According to in our likeness. Let them have a dominion over fish of the sea, and over the bird of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping things that creeps on the earth. So man created in the... God, not the other way around. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Stop there for a moment, please. God created male and female. Adam and Eve, correct? Not Adam and Steve, not Amanda and Eve. Adam and Eve. One biological man, one biological woman. Any deviation is, let me say very clearly, perversion. Anything you do against what God did is perversion, whether you like it or not. When we got this building, I was making signs around within the church building, like an office, prayer room, classrooms. And I made one sign to put inside the window. It's a one-way window for the nursing mother's room. I put the nursing mother's room sign there, and I put another sign. Only biological woman admitted. Nowadays, you have to say it. Otherwise, some bozo who think claim to be a woman will go inside. It's a sad situation. Continuing in verse 28. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have a dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living things that moves on the earth. Stop, please. In many verses in the Old Testament in which God referred himself using plural noun of the Hebrew word Elohim, one of the primary titles of God in the Old Testament that occurs 2,500 times. We can rule out the polytheism that believes there is a multiple God, because that would contradict countless other scripture verses that tell us God is one and there's only one God. For example, three times in Isaiah 45 alone, God states that I am the Lord, there is no other, and there is no God beside me. Since the Bible and the New Testament especially present God as the Trinity, Isaiah 1:26 can only represent conversation within the Trinity. God the Father speaking to God the Son with God the Holy Spirit in presence. The Old Testament hint at the plurality of God, and New Testament clarifies the plurality with the doctrine of Trinity. Obviously, there's no way we can fully understand how the Trinity works, but God has given us enough information to know that He does exist in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Am I making sense? I know some people say, well, it's to explain God, Trinity of Godhead is like the water in liquid form and vapor form and solid ice. Or I said, well, it's like the egg, hard shell or yolk and white. You can try it. I tried it. It's a very inadequate description of Trinity. We really, human, can our IQ is not high enough to understand Trinity. You with me? Just like we cannot understand the grace of God. In chapter 3 of Genesis, we are going to study the grace in more in-depth. We are going to spend at least 2 or 3 weeks just touching the grace of God. After the 3 weeks, you will be in comparison, if what we learn is a little tiny speckle of dirt, one piece of dirt, the true grace of God will be the size of the earth. You with me? We cannot comprehend His grace other than it's enormously great. Hopefully we can touch a little bit. The mankind was created in God's image. This brings the 3 points we must understand. Number one, it means there is an unbridgeable gap between human life and animal life. Though we are biologically similar with a certain animal, such as ape, we are distinct in our moral, intellectual, and spiritual capacity. People say that, well, ape is close to human. Do you know which animal is closer to human? Make a wild guess. Pig. Yes, pig is. And you're thinking, did you just call me pig? Yeah, kinda. Second point. It means that Jesus' incarnation was truly possible. Jesus, God in the second person of Trinity, could really become a man, because although deity and humanity are not the same, but they are comparable. We have an image of God. Third point, it means humans possess spirituality. Human is made for communion with God. It is on the level of spirit we communicate with God. No animal, no trees, no other created things have the privilege and spirit. I was talking with someone this morning. When an animal dies, when your pet dies, that animal before death had an intelligence, had a mind of its own. Look at any cat, have a mind of its own, and they have body, but they do not have a spirit. Often I'm asked by the people, does animal go, when they die, do they go to heaven? I don't know. Does not say, because they don't have a spirit, I cannot say with confidence they would go to heaven. But at the same time, I cannot deny that there is no animal in heaven, because in the book of Revelation, Jesus coming down on a white horse. Don't try to make it as allegorical horse. When Jesus said, it's a horse, leave it as is. I don't know what kind of horse that is, that stallion or the thoroughbred, who cares? It's a horse, as Jesus is riding. So he's my cowboy. You don't like a cowboy music, Pastor Al? Get on the road. You better get used to it, because that's how we're going to sing and worship. All right, I'm sure he's going to say something at the closing. You may ask, didn't the archaeologists discover the primitive caveman skulls and bones? Yes and no. Never a scrum man was constructed on the base of the pig tooth. One single pig's tooth. They made this diagram. They didn't find the entire skull, just one single pig tooth, and they came up with this. In the theory of Piltdown Man, it's also built around the modern-day ape's jaw, another hoax. See that darkened area? That's the ape's jaw and the skull bone. For a long time, evolutionists were beaming over the discovery of a Neanderthal man. They thought that this primitive man was a missing link between the modern man and the ape-like creature. Because this primitive man was a little slouch in form, and he had a bow bridge, and bulb-shaped forehead, and slopping shoulder, and bowed leg, and other so-called primitive feature. However, when Dr. Francis Ivanhoe, who is a pathological scientist, and he examined this Neanderthal in the man's skull, and when they checked his bone, they found this is not old as they claim to be, and he has a vitamin deficiencies. That's why he look different. That caused him to have the problem, and crippled him further with the arthritis. If a Neanderthal man could speak from his grave, he would say, I am not a caveman, I'm just hurting. So far, three big things they came up with, the three hoaxes. Let's go back to verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. You might say the pinnacle of God's creation work was the creation of a human. Yet the human beings stand apart from the rest of God's creation, because we have been uniquely created in the image of God, God himself. He made us both male and female, and to be more like him than anything else he created. What does the Bible mean when it says man is created in God's image? Does it mean that when we get to heaven, we'll discover that he looked just like us? I don't think so. There are another dimension being made in the image of God. Number one, there is a recognition built within us that there is more to life than simple existence. There is a spiritual dimension. God has set eternity in our heart. Go to the Ecclesiastes chapter 3, please. Right before the Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. He has made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from the beginning to the end. Stop there, please. When baby deer was born, or puppy was born, what do? They look for milk. And when the baby is born, human baby is born, what do they do? Same thing, look for milk. And you may say, well, what's different? As the puppy grow up, become a dog. What does the dog want to do most? Eat, play, and do normal dog things. Do you ever see dog sitting there and thinking, is this all about the life? Is there any more? Is there anything lacking in my life? Do I need to change my life? Or maybe he will make his hind leg in lotus position and saying, Do you ever see any dogs doing that? If you have them, I would like to talk with that dog. For a human, it's a different story. Even their tummy is full, back is warm, they have a roof over their shoulder, overhead, they are not satisfied. How many people said, I need to find myself, other than middle life crisis? They cannot satisfy. Why? Because God put eternity in their heart. There's a vacuum shape of God in their heart. Nothing can fill that other than Jesus Christ. We have, second point, we have a built-in sense of morality. The Apostle Paul tells us even unbelievers have the work of the law written in their heart. And their conscience bear witness. Romans chapter 2, please. Romans chapter 2, verse 14. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their heart, and their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves and their thoughts and accusing or else excusing them. How true. Is either accusing or excusing. The man knew God, but man did not want to know God or honor him as God. The man was willing to use God's gift, but he was not willing to worship and praise God for his gift, even acknowledge his presence. The result was an empty mind and a darkened heart. That's why people who have a lot of money, privilege, and power, they are still seeking to fill that void. As I said, it cannot be filled unless Jesus filled their heart. It is estimated that we have over 100 billion neurons, also called the nerve cells or the brain cells, which is about the number of the stars in the Milky Way galaxy. There are the trillions of the supported cells in the brain called glia. And each neuron is connected to other neurons by up to 40,000 individual synapses between cells. And multiplying 100 million neurons times 40,000 synapses is equivalent to the brain having more connection in it than that there is a stars in the universe. A piece of brain tissue in the size of a grain of sand contains 100,000 neurons and 1 billion synapses all talking to one another. And you may say, is that what we have? Yes, that's what we have. Can we access them all? No. Average people access about 7% of their brain capacity. 7%. It is no wonder in chapter 2, God brought all the animals in front of Adam. He named every one of them without duplication. Was Adam smart? You betcha. Can you name hundred different things without duplicating? I cannot. The Lord Jesus put his signature in the human bodies everywhere when he created us. Go to Colossians chapter 1, please. And you're thinking, It is a Bible study or it is a science class? Both. Chapter 1, verse 16, please. For by him all things are... This, I'm reading with a New International Version. I really like that this translation for this one. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether throne or powers or rulers or authority, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Get that? All things hold together by him. Listen to me, please. There is a protein molecule called laminin. Have you ever heard that? Laminin? L-A-M-I-N-I-N. Just write it down somewhere. L-A-M-I-N-I-N. In case you don't trust me, I want you to Google this particular protein, laminin. Cells are organized in certain molecular structure that controls what protein they are. Scientists are guessing that there are between 10 to 16,000 different proteins in human body. Laminin is vital to making sure overall the body structure hold together. An improper production of laminin can cause a muscle to form improperly. Would you like to see the Jesus signature in your body? Would you? I do. Whenever I just do the drawing, at the end, I put my signature. That's laminin's shape. Does it look like something? What does it look like to you? Do you think it has something to do with the Jesus' cross? You betcha. And you may say, oh, it just happened that way. Really? Let me put it this way. When the Lord moved the Israelites from Egypt to Promised Land, he was moving 2 million people. And he designated people in a certain formation when they set up the camp. Judah on the east, biggest tribe. And Dan on the left, west side. And Reuben on the south side. I forgot the other tribe. Its shape, a different shape. And in the center of that is the tabernacle. Always set up that way. If we happen to be in the time machine, travel back, and we got on the gigantic blimp and fly over that camp, guess what shape that is? Cross. Do you think God just said arbitrarily with the abstract in mind? No. Everything is done in purpose. Laminin, he knew people would find it. So he said, here is my signature. Have at it. That thing holds your body together. That thing produces protein together. Genesis chapter 1, verse 29, please. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yield seed, which is on the face of all the earth, every tree whose fruit yield seed. To you it shall be for food. Also to every beast on the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life. I have given every green herb for food. So it was. Then God saw everything that he has made. Indeed, it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. I don't like this verse. You know why? Because from what I read, Adam and Eve were vegetarian. Until Noah's flood, they were vegetarian. And after that, they were eating meat. So in the back, when you read the Revelation, they are going back to vegetarian state. Here's my recommendation. While you have a chance, chow down that 16-ounce T-bone steak. Two applications. Number one, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Believe it by faith. And you're thinking, hey, preacher, you used this for 3 weeks in a row. Yes, I know. I did it on purpose. You know why? If you believe that God created heaven and earth from the beginning, you can believe the rest of the Bible without a problem. You got me? Simple fact. believe what it says in the first portion of the Bible, the rest of them will come along without any problem. People deny who God is. That's why you think we said the Word of God, the absolute truth and final authority. They ignore this book. That's why they come up with some stupid comment. Like Andy Stanley, one of the Bible teachers, so-called Bible teacher, he said, ignore the Old Testament. Two things he forgot in the New Testament. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And the revelation, anyone who takes this portion, any scripture out of them, let them be cursed. Which part he doesn't get it? Whether you believe it or not, creation is done by God, not evolution. You didn't come from oo and goo. You're created by God. Fearfully, wonderfully made. Take a pride in it. Second application. Majestic creation is the evidence of an even more majestic creator, our God. Amen? Let's stand up and pray.